see it in the movies, in the paper, and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome this afternoon, the Watchman for Jesus program. My name is Thomas Gamble. I am the host of this program, and welcome here today on this Friday. Family, this afternoon I'm going to cover a lot of ground, so get you something to drink. Sit back. If you got pen and paper, you might want to take track, keep track of what I'm going to tell you today. It will hopefully be at least the final part of my five-step program. Of course, then again, who knows how far I'll get, because I have a lot of information to tell you as I'm guided through. I'm finding out, though, people don't want to know the truth. They don't. They do not want to know the truth. They want to have their ears tickled. And I mean this to be at the highest level. Generals, politicians, CEOs, I'm guessing 3/4 of America don't want to know the truth. I'm finding so few people that really want to know. They want to hide. They want to hide behind golf or some sports games on TV or soap operas or the work. They don't have time to bother. When the work stops, it's going to get their attention. Be too late then. Then they go into panic mode, and the answers will be self-survival, but really not what the truth is going to be. They will be led in the path that the Illuminati, murdering Jesuits, and the secret societies will lead them. You see, and that's what's going to happen. That's what they're setting up. A panic stage. And in panic, people will pick the easiest route out And they're counting on it. And the Illuminati, the murdering Jesuits, and the secret societies will provide the answer, and that answer will be just another trap. That's a promise and a guarantee. The news today, I'm telling you, the Becks, Hannitys, Limbaughs, all these guys, no sir, not telling you the truth. Family, this is serious business. Very serious. It's like being an alternate universe almost. In fact, congressional records prove as far back as 1915 until today, and it will be tomorrow effective, nothing's changed except the method of controlling the media has become more sophisticated. And it started exactly in 1915 when J.P. Morgan bought out 25 of the major newspapers and furnished each one with an editor that was to do the bidding of the Illuminati starting in 1915 until today. You understand this? And then in 1921, J.P. Morgan just passed the baton of control to the Rockefellers when they created the Council of Foreign Relations, CFR. The CFR is a shadow government. At the highest level of the CFR, they know what's going on. The lower level members of the CFR don't have a clue one. Because they're working to their own destruction and death of their own families. And they don't even know it. They will not listen to the truth. Those that are in Freemasons, other secret societies, are under a blood oath not to tell the truth. That's what they're doing, taking a blood oath to lie. And they say, so help me God. To keep secrets. There's something inherently wrong with that. You see, that's wrong. How come they can't see it? And we're talking the highest level, CEOs of major corporations. We're talking senators, congressmen, generals, colonels. I'm not talking small-time participants here, like Holder and these kind of people. They're a dime a dozen. Holders and Bernanke's and all these guys, they're nothing, man. They're nothing. Harry Reid, man, you got to be kidding me. Those people that say that Harry Reid plans anything, man, have no clue or they're lying to you. Harry Reid, Bernanke, Holder, these guys, man, they are a dime a dozen. You say, well, they're going to be thrown on the bus. Man, they're the tires on the bus. That's all they are. Family, when are people going to understand this truth? The Harry Reids and Bernanke's and Holders and the Palins and the all those others that you hear about, they're nothing, man. They are throwaways. Like a toilet paper roll. That's all they are. Throw them away. No big deal. They got people's eyes and notions on the wrong people. You turn your eyes and notions on the Knights of Malta, now you get somewhere. The Jesuits that are infiltrated as military commanders, as presidents, as religious leaders who are Jesuits. Man, Jesuits are murderers. And that's a fact and is proven. Since 1200 A.D., Alumbrados became Jesuits later by Loyola in the 15th, 16th century, funded by the Borgias, which is a real Illuminati. And let me tell you something. Borgia is not Jew. It's Italian. Funded the Jesuits. Orsini's, Farnese, Medici. Medici linked up to Michelangelo. Man, they're all connected. I'm not all over the board. All this is connected together. Under the Illuminati. Generation for generation. Times generation. Passed from one family to another. They start raising their children pagans at 5 and 6 years old. They start training them for the next generation. And they train them to train the next generation. Because, family, this is one conspiracy that's branched off in 11 different areas. So what you hear on the news and all this stuff going on, ABC, NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, all that, that's all to keep you all busy. History books are totally corrupted. Family, Jesus Christ is real. 2 Chronicles 7:14, generals, that's the answer. But they're not going to learn it till it's too late for them. Twenty-six suicides of our veterans every day, and nobody gets the idea that this is an 83%, I think it is, haven't seen combat. There's a problem there. I thought post-traumatic stress came from combat. Something funny going on here. And I don't mean funny ha-ha, I mean funny peculiar. I've proven on my website, watchmanforjesus.com, a basic study there, about 80 pages or so if you were to download it, showing you how these suicides are being orchestrated. Softening us up for a takeover by United Nations. It's been planned for the longest time. Step by step. And our government, puppets to the monarchy, have been playing this role since 1776. Through the secret societies. Lying and hiding in the background. Rosicrucians, Knights of Malta, SNMOM, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus. Many, many, many secret societies. Family, they are the enemy. And they are the enemy of themselves, and they don't even know it. You see, I'm going to dedicate the broadcast right now. And today, I want to talk about step number 3. We'll get into it shortly. Well, shortly. My shortly is a little bit longer than shortly. But discard the Constitution and Republic which is established, how they've done that, or how they were setting it up to do that. And then, what they've done, destroy the American free enterprise system. And if I get through it, how they're directing our attention toward the United Nations. Now, if I have to, I'll go on into next week to finish it up, but I'm going to get out as much said today as I can. And try to put it on a realistic basis other than what you're being told lately. I'm going to lay the groundwork of the steps they've taken. Because if I just tell you, you know, certain events that's happened, it's not going to put it in the right perspective of how it fits this overall plan. Family, don't take my word for anything, but challenge it, dadgummit. Challenge what I'm saying. And if you don't believe it, challenge it. If you do believe it, challenge it. You get something common there? Yeah, challenge it. Always challenge whatever you're told. Never, 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 never take the word of one person on a major news or network or radio or anything. You do your own research. Use what you hear on a radio, TV, etc., as clues. And shed yourself of all these loyalties. You have one goal, and that's to find the truth no matter what. Why do people sacrifice the truth for blood oaths that they take? It's not worth it. A blood oath will damn your soul forever. James 5 talks about it. Matthew talks about it. Matthew 5, 33, 37. Man, you take no oaths. If you've taken an oath, you have damned your family for four generations. That's a fact. Man, don't play with this. That's why you have trouble in your families that are Freemasons, other secret societies. You've brought Satan into your home. Under the guise of being a Christian. Not at all, man. Not at all. The first clue should be a secret oath. And swearing to God to keep secrets. What? That right there is a clue, immediately. Learning all these handshakes and hand signs and all this stuff. Promising or swearing to God to have your throat cut across, your stomach laid open. Not to reveal secrets. That's got to be crazy, man. For human beings to make such oaths, You don't tell the family, but I'll tell them. Because they got to know what you're involved in. It's total evil. The Eastern Star, upside down star, pointing down the logo, that's a satanic Baphomet. Look it up on your own. Do it now. Family, Jesus Christ is real. And he's coming back. And there's no stopping it. Once that first seal has been broken, peace and prosperity, celebration, yay. Man, get ready for heavy rolls to follow. Hadn't happened yet. All these Carl Gallups and these other so-called prophets and so forth are lying to you. Or they're grossly mistaken that we're in the sixth trumpet. That's impossible. Challenge them, man. Don't just take their word for it. Challenge them. Make them prove it to you. You see, do your own Bible study. Do your own research on the end time events. Don't trust on these prophets and all these so-called church leaders and so forth. No, sir. John MacArthur himself, a Calvinist, is now saying it's okay to take the mark of the beast. My teaching on the 11th of June. Look, go to it in my website, watchmanforjesus.com. By his own mouth, that's what he says. How come somebody didn't stand up and just walk out on him there? I mean, why show respect? Why? When they're blaspheming God's Holy Spirit, I'm up. I'm saying, excuse me. I'm getting through this. I'm leaving. Right in the middle of his talking, no problem. I'm not going to sit there if I was there. I'd be getting up right then, right there, and make a big deal out of it. And turn my back and walk the other way out the door, probably mumbling something. But I show them no respect when they start talking against the Bible. I'm gone. Out of there. Because that means Satan is there. Family, get serious. Get courage under you. Get knowledge under you. Start standing up for Jesus and the King James Bible. It's coming down upon you. It's coming to you. And God's going to be calling his army out. It's not an army of weapons. It's an army of knowledge and courage to speak out. Are you going to get some heavy rolls towards you? Even from family members. I know that for a fact. Dedicate the broadcast. Let's get started. Lord, we thank you tonight, today, this afternoon. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to come together and praise your word. Lord, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, down on the cross for our sins. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us blessings. But Lord, sometimes we need discernment and wisdom to see them. Father, we pray for our veterans that's returning from Iraq and Afghanistan. And Father, we pray for our veterans in the services now that's never even been there. We pray, Father, for their guidance and for their wisdom to be, for wisdom to be given to them. For protection around them from these drugs they're being told to take and these microchips put in their bodies that, Father, some of them don't even know they have them. Lord, to give them help. To wake them up so they'll know what they're dealing with. To pass the word through the Holy Spirit, Lord, to put it upon their hearts to seek the truth. And give them courage to speak out when things are going wrong. To do the right thing. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will render null and void the effects of these drugs. We pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit will render to no effect the voices that they're hearing inside their heads that are caused by this technology, that, Father, you tear down that technology and break it to pieces. Father, we pray for the families to give them courage, give them comfort in times of these tragedies that's coming to them. And, Father, to show them the love, joy that's in your kingdom. And bring the truth to them through the Holy Word. Father, we pray for against these rituals of these Satanists and Wicca and all the like. Father, we pray for the release of children that's being held for these human sacrifices that's going on today. Father, we pray for an outpouring of your holy word. We pray for divine intervention and divine appointments, Father, that some children can be released or found, discovered, or saved. And Father, to raise the awareness of parents to keep track of where their children are, and Lord, to accept situations, divine appointments that's going to protect them. Father, we call upon you to reveal the identities of all the Wicca. Take down the disguises of the fallen angels and seal up those portals, Lord. And give us more time that we can spread the word through the gospel. The Lord, to put upon the hearts of the pastors and preachers, rabbis and priests, Lord, the truth. And to give them courage to step away from their bondage and start telling the truth. And lead many to Jesus. That there be an outpouring of this Holy Spirit. We ask you, Father, forgive us of our sins as we lay them down to you. And indwell us with the Holy Spirit. That we also can not only maintain ourselves and keep us on the track, but also can spread the gospel, the true word of God. Guide us today, Lord, as we share, we experience, we learn, we teach, until that day comes that the judgment shall arise. That's why, Father, we pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Why do people do things wrong? And then we justify it, do we not? You know, a murderer and a rapist, all this, they don't do anything wrong. Because in their mind, they're doing something that's justified in whatever way. I'm doing this because whatever it is. I wouldn't drink so much if you didn't, blah, 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 blah. Few people say, I'm going to be a drunkard and I'm going to murder these people, or rape this one person, because I just want to. That's a little bit on the psychotic side. Now, some people say that, but about 5% of the population, the rest of them have some kind of justification in their mind, because that conviction puts upon them what you're doing is wrong inside. So to go ahead and do whatever they're going to do that's against the commandments, they have to justify it in their mind. I know when I was in Saudi Arabia, anti-terrorism there, 1996 to 1999, actually 1994, I was in Kuwait. And then I came back to the United States in 95, 96, went back to Saudi Arabia, more anti-terrorism, blah, 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 so forth and so on, 99. So I learned about Islam, and I learned about tricks. Here's the deal. When you had a really nice pin or something nice that they wanted, one of the like the interpreters there or something, on your desk, they'd never take it from your desk. What they'd do, they'd sort of nonchalantly, accidentally, on purpose, knock it on the floor. Anything on the floor is open. You can take it, but not if it's personally on your desk. Can you imagine? So they'd knock something off, like a pen or something that wouldn't break or whatever. This, I want that. Or they'd want it, they'd say, well, that's a really nice pen. Well, you're supposed to give it to them, you know. But they'd knock it off. If they could knock it off somehow on the floor, it's no problem to take it. That's like telling a lie, and you cross your fingers behind your back, and it's not a lie anymore. Huh. Or you color code the lie. It's a white lie. I can tell a white lie. Not a black lie, but a white lie. It's like, huh? Is that a little yin and yang going on here? They color code lies these days. Remember that? A little white lie. It's not a little white lie. Only stole a dollar. Come on. Really, it's the intents of the heart that God looks at, no matter what the amount or the method or justification. It looks at the intents of the heart. We justify our action. What we have here is not a failure to communicate. They're doing that very well. Problem is, they're communicating lies and so forth on the major TV, radio, newspapers. Well, actually, I'm spouting it off, so I guess I ought to prove it. How about that? Would congressional records, is that good enough for you? In 1915, the congressional record proved conspiracy between the powerful business and media interests. In March of 1915, quote, as quoted from congressional records, 1915, the J.P. Morgan interest, steel, shipbuilding, and powder interests and subsidiary organizations got together 12 men high up in the newspaper world and employed them to select the most influential newspapers in the United States and sufficient number of them to control generally the policy of the daily press of the United States, unquote. Quote, continuing, they found it was only necessary to purchase the control of 25 of the greatest papers. An editor was furnished for each paper to properly supervise and edit information regarding the questions of preparedness, militarism, financial policies, and other things of national and international nature considered vital to the interests of the purchasers. This policy also included the suppression of everything in opposition to the wishes of the interests served, unquote. That's congressional records. Confirm it. Now, if you want to call it a conspiracy theory, go on ahead. But that's congressional records documented. Congressional records, February the 9th, 1917, in volume 54. It's on pages 2,947 to 2,948. February 9th, 1917, it's right there. Now, this has not stopped. It continued on from 1915 to 1920, 1921, and passed on to the Council of Foreign Relations once it was formed by the Rockefellers to take over the control of the major media. In 1993, members of the Council of Foreign Relations, that is the Illuminati in the United States, media CFR members, even as far back as 93, to show you the continuity, the media CFR members, media Illuminati members that lie, cheat, and steal because they're taking a blood oath to do so, are the following. ABC, Thomas Murphy was CEO back then, Diane Sawyer, Barbara Walters, John Connor, John Skelly. In CNN, you had Thomas Johnson was president. You had Gil Patrick, Dan Rather, Frank Stanton in CBS and NBC RCA. John Welsh was CEO. David Brinkley, another Illuminati member. Tom Brokaw, John Chancellor, James Pfeiffer. That's just a few. I got a whole list of them here that are Illuminati, Luciferian members. That's a fact. In the newspaper, Associated Press was Harold Anderson. Dow Jones Wall Street Journal, Karen House. Oops, ever heard of Mandel House? Who controlled Woodrow Wilson? Yeah. New York Times, I got a whole list, Rosenthal, Ratner, Richard Burt, Richard Glibb, John Oakes. I got just a whole list of these names of these people involved in CFR. Newsweek, Washington Post. You had Robert Christopher, Robert Kaiser, George Will, Peter Onos. I got like 25 of these people. Reader's Digest, you had George Grune. In Time, you had Strobe Talbot, Henry Grunwald, Alexander Hurd. And you had syndicated columnist Georgia Ann Geyer, Illuminati, and Ben Wartenberg. That's just scratching the surface. And as the media increased in its intensity in 1993 till now, members of the Council of Foreign Relations are the Illuminati. They lie, cheat, and steal in the newspaper and telling news. They're told what to tell. Throughout the United States, they're all connected with what to say to you all in the nightly news. It's all like a reality show, scripted out, baloney. And then to get those who don't believe in the news, they have controlled opposition on alternative news. For us conspiracy theorists, they have also controlled opposition. And for the rest of the public, they don't care. You know why? Because the rest of the public don't care either. So they don't worry about them. They're watching the 15-minute news, nightly news, and believe it. They read the Washington Post, believe it. Everything they read in the paper, they believe it. So they're not worried about them. And the others, they don't listen to news anyway. Now, what's his face? Zbigniew Brzezinski. That psycho. He said in a conference of some sort that we're now more politically awake than we've ever been. Mankind has become more politically awake. And at one time, he says, and paraphrased, at one time it was easier to control a million people instead of killing a million people. He said today, words to the effect, Zbigniew Brzezinski, psycho, Charles Manson with a coat and tie. He said it's easier today because of politically awakening. It's easier today to kill a million people than it is to control a million people. Unquote that. Mm-hmm. Family, this is the reality of what's going on. This conspiracy is real. It's not a theory by no stretch of anybody's imagination. But people don't want to hear it. They don't want to know it. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. You want to see the evidence? No, I don't. Leave me alone. I think it's going to go away. And then they complain that we live in a tyrannical government. But they don't want to know about it. What can we do about it, they say. Then it goes right back to the power of the word, the power of prayer, which should be part of a five-paragraph order at the Pentagon. But being that they're Satanists anyway, at the highest level, they'll call a Pentagon for nothing. What they do in the middle of the Pentagon, in the secret projects, is an abomination. It would strike terror in your hearts if you knew. Because they're based on the secret society's agenda. Not for America, by no stretch of the imagination. Somewhere along the line, from lieutenant, say, for example, to major, they're doing their little job and work, whatever, being groomed. They make them a Freemason or Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, apprentice or whatever. And then by the time they get to major, say, lieutenant colonel, they start weeding them out a little bit. Then colonel, we need to talk. Here's how it really works here in Washington. They tell them about this agenda, about Lucifer, about the Freemasonry, about secret societies, about the coming New World Order. You can be with us or you can fall by the wayside. Look how powerful we are. We could use you in this. And their loyalties change. You think Jane Fonda is a traitor? Family, every president we've had has helped bring us down step by step, except for Lincoln, who at first was brought in to do it, Andrew Jackson, Lincoln, McKinley, and JFK. And those four have something in common. An inclusive, although not president, but inclusive, killed by the same people, was Martin Luther King, Bobby Kennedy, and Malcolm X. That's right. By the lion murdering Jesuits, Freemasons at the top level. Notice I keep saying at the top level, because the lower level don't have any clue. Because the degrees, secret oath, secret proceedings. JFK, in his speech, 19-minute speech he gives, which you can listen to a summation of it. I've got the full 19-minute speech that JFK gave. I've got the summation of it. It's a, well, actually, now to think about it. Now, I'm getting around to my main meat of the program here in a jiffy. I like to lay the groundwork. And unfortunately, sometimes I go down some rabbit trails that some people say, Tom, get back on track. Okay. Because I do have a lot of knowledge, but that's only because I've studied this intensely. That's the only reason. Anybody can acquire the knowledge if you took the time. I'm nobody special by no stretch. But I've taken the time to research it because I got ticked off being a former U.S. Marine and finding out I was being lied to. I tend to go for the throat. And so I said, okay, I'm going to kill a fly with a sledgehammer and I'm going to find out what's going on. And I did. That's how I work. And I hold nothing back. If I hold something back, it's because I forgot or something, maybe. But that's about it. Because I fear nobody. Because my Savior is going to bring me home. And that's not me special. It's because I made a choice. Of all the sinning I did in my life, which was massive, I decided to fly right. It's been difficult. It's not easy. But it's a matter of decision. You know, they've said that the definition of insanity, the true definition of insanity, is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Well, I got a little tired of that, so I said, might as well try something new. That's when I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, my eyes were opened up. Took some time, because I am stubborn. But my eyes were opened up, and I started seeing the truth, and that's where I've been ever since. And I'm not backing down one instant. Not at all. So if you don't believe me, which is fine, but I recommend you check it out. Here's what we're going to do.
Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate very much your generous invitation to be here tonight.
That was the long 19-minute speech. Here's the short one, I believe.
President John F. Kennedy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised.
John Lennon. Princess Diana, Benazir Bhutto, maybe Tupac, Dr. David Kelly, William Cooper, Russo, Barry Jennings.
Not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed. No president should fear public scrutiny of his program. For from that scrutiny comes understanding, and from that understanding comes support or opposition, and both are necessary. I am not asking your newspapers to support an administration, but I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. For I have complete confidence. And the response and dedication of our citizens, whenever they are fully informed. I not only could not stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We intend to accept full responsibility for our errors, and we expect you to point them out when we miss them. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment, the only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution, not primarily to amuse and entertain. Not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental. Not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices, to lead, mold, educate, and sometimes even anger public opinion. This means greater coverage and analysis of international news. For it is no longer far away and foreign, but close at hand and local. It means greater attention to improved understanding of the news, as well as improved transmission. And it means, finally, that government at all levels must meet its obligation to provide you with the fullest possible information outside the narrowest limits of national security. And so it is to the printing press, the record of man's deeds, the keeper of his conscience, the courier of his news, that we look for strength and assistance, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
Then it goes to show about Kennedy's assassination. And all this. In other words, you can look it up right now. 7 conspiracy theories is proven to be true. They have another article, 33 conspiracy theories proven to be true. Family, they're every single one of them are involved in this one conspiracy, and that can be proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. People can deny it at all levels and say, oh, it's baloney. But when you have your evidence with you, you can blow them right out of the water. Then what they do is they change on you and get mad at you. Just snicker and walk away. But at least you've made an impression on their brain that they have to admit that they're in denial. Nothing more needs to be said. Because then it will wear on their brain that they're in denial. And they'll remember when it breaks down on their head that you tried to warn them. Family, this thing began 1910, Jekyll Island. 1913 was the establishment of the Federal Reserve System. They had to get established. In 1901, 1902, McKinley was in their way and his lobbying groups. They had to kill McKinley because of that. Going back even to 1901, he was a part of effort against the Illuminati. Even though he wasn't a family bloodline, he was. All of them were, actually. All the presidents are for those alive and were when those is dead. But some of them saw right to do the right thing, a handful. They tried to kill Andrew Jackson 3 times because he balanced the budget. The only president in our history ever to truly balance the budget. Never has been one since and never one before. Clinton said he balanced. He's a lie. He's a Luciferian like his buddy Buchanan. They're Luciferians. They wear the robes. They do their rituals. Like Bush and all the rest of them. At Bohemian Grove. Nixon. Reagan. All the lot of them. In 1913 was the Federal Reserve System established to control Americans. I'm not going to go into all the details of the Federal Reserve System, but it's a private organization of cartel. Well put. Then around 1913 to 1921, Colonel Mandel House, a Luciferian, one evil, total evil Satanist, Colonel Mandel House, controlled Woodrow Wilson to the point that Woodrow Wilson said he was his alter ego. It's called possession. It's called mesmerization. It is supernatural control over another human being. Just like Adam Weishaupt did on Thomas Write Your Own Bible Jefferson. He was not the good guy that he said in his history books. Thomas Jefferson was not. Between 1913 and 1921, Mandel House and Woodrow Wilson set up a system where Americans had to be required, it was later to be required, to register their biological property, that's you and your children, in a national system designed to keep track of the people that would operate under the ancient system of pledging. And when they did this, it was controlled later when FDR, listen, I'm laying the groundwork throughout this entire broadcast. FDR, then to slam dunk us with Social Security number and birth certificate. To bond each American in 1929 as a bond slave for $1 million upon birth. With your secret bank account held at Switzerland. And so Americans at this scheme of maneuver of secured transactions with $1 million, Americans, each individual American, quote, by unknowingly or unwittingly delivering the bills of lading, birth certificate, to them will be rendered bankrupt and insolvent as secured by their pledges. Stripped of the rights and given a commercial value designed to make them a profit. And we would never know any better. And we haven't from 1921 to 2006. And they said, Woodrow Wilson said in his diary, quote, "This will inevitably reap us huge profits beyond our wildest expectation and leave every American a contributor to this fraud, which we will call social insurance. Without realizing it, every American will unknowingly be our servant, however begrudgingly. The people will become helpless without any hope for their redemption." Yeah, little do they know. "And we will employ the high office of the presidency of our dummy corporation, United States of America, to foment this plot against America." That's what Woodrow Wilson wrote in his diary. Now, that was Woodrow Wilson, a puppet of the monarchy and the Jesuits. And on March 4th, 1939, here's what FDR wrote or said in front of three congressional committees. And a witness was Senator Lundeen, who wrote down this quote that he heard from FDR behind closed doors, gave it to William G. Carr. And William G. Carr, in 1955, put it in his book, Red Fog Over America. If you go to my website, watchmenforjesus.com, you look up that timeline I provided, about 200 pages of timeline, and go to March 4th, 1939, you can read that quote that FDR said. So now the quote I read to you about Woodrow Wilson, here's what FDR said. Listen carefully. Behind closed doors, not to have been revealed to the public, he said the following. Quote, "I am making no concessions to business or for relief." It's 1939 now. "I have a military machine sufficient to stop any organized revolt. I'm putting my people," that's the Illuminati, "ahead of all instruments," those are the American people in this bankruptcy. We're instruments. Quote, "I've had a full understanding with Chamberlain, and we will destroy this unemployed condition with a war and a war only. To hell with American people as far as a democracy is concerned. It does not exist. It never did. And we will never let it happen that way. I am going to crush business." Now listen to this carefully. Quote, "Infest America with all the aliens possible. In the last analysis, declare martial law and confiscate everything I need for a true and forceful dictatorship. My New Deal is a failure." There's a stimulus plan, by the way. "And I know it, but no one else will tell me I must discontinue my present activities and program." Unquote. What's Obama doing? He's bringing immigrants in. And what were we, white folk? We were immigrants coming in from Europe into the where the Indians and the Mexicans lived all their lives. Family, the whole idea, since the year 1425, that's when it started, was to integrate the North American continent with every race to develop one particular hybrid race. It's taken them over 600 years to do it. Oh, this is all documented. I'm not giving you speculation or theory. And by the year 1492, it was put into place with a bloodline royalty by the name of Columbus, who knew exactly where he was going. And it began. 1492. And about 250, 300 years later, as planned by the Illuminati, then to bring the third culture brace in, 1711, the blacks from Africa that were slaves, to be enslaved by the white folk in this Bible Belt. So now you got three cultures here of race. This is all pre-planned through the Illuminati. Every bit of this, not accidental at all. And then after about 1700, 1800, come one, come all, let's bring them all in. And that's exactly what's been going on ever since. Family, this has been pre-planned, led from one generation to the next of Illuminati. Each generation planning the next generation of children that's going to grow up and continue this agenda. This is a fact, not theory. Now, doggone it, when are people going to realize what's really going on? And that's the only way you're going to fight it, is you're not going to stop it. Family, this goes back, all the way back to the pharaohs of Egypt, because that is the bloodline of your royalties today. King, Queen, Elizabeth, all those, every single mother, son of them, are all of the bloodline of the pharaohs of Egypt that migrated to Europe. You realize how deep this goes? This ain't about Agenda 21. This is not about, Bird Dog. Oh, Bird Dog is coming back to the United States. Oh, yeah. They'll probably track him like Snow Job. Snowden, that other liar. Snowden, Assange, Manning. They're all part of the CIA operation, NSA. They're told what to say to play the game. So I guess they're going to track Snowden like Santa Claus. And now they're going to track, you know, Bird Dog. It's all to keep you all busy, family. It's all to keep everybody busy, tied up, divided. That's designed that they're throwing these things at you. To keep your eyes off the ball, you see. So now Bird Dogs are going to be on TV, and they're going to have books, and they're going to have, you know, veterans. Veterans don't know they're being jostled around. As for division. That's all this Bird Dog thing. It's all pre-planned. It's all pre-planned. Lord of mercy. Well, 1913, the Federal Reserve System. You all know about that one. Then this plan by Mandel House and Andrew Woodrow Wilson. Well, in 1920, here we go. They formed the League of Nations. The forerunner of the New World Order, United Nations in Geneva. Then, in 1920, 1921, London, the Rothschilds, formed the Illuminati by the name of the Royal Institute of International Affairs. Royal Institute of International Affairs. And simultaneously, as I told you about, an hour ago, the Rockefellers, at the same time, period of 1920-21, they formed the Council on Foreign Relations at the same time so they could work together. And about that time frame, thereabouts, they formed the Round Table, where all these organizations could get together like a think tank. Then you had branch organizations. Every nation has one of these Institute of Foreign Relations. Every nation. Canada, United States, Europe, London, Belgium. All of them do. Have an Illuminati section. But branch organizations in 1920, 1921 in New York was the Institute for Pacific Relations, IPR. In Paris, I cannot pronounce French words. I'll do the best I can. Probably it's like scratching your nails over a green board, but the Centre de Luttes de Politique Intérieure, I shouldn't even try it. Center of ETUDS, DE, Politique, whatever, ETRANGERE. Sorry, but I can't speak French. It's all French to me. And then in Hamburg, Germany, it don't get any better. Institute for AUS, WARTIGE, Politik. I got that right. And so these were formed as branch organizations of the Illuminati. Canada's got one. Y'all Canadians know that. That you have an Illuminati too? I'll tell you what it is. It's called the Canadian Institute for International Affairs. Surprise, surprise. Now, to control the finances, I must mention 1944, Bretton Woods, in New Hampshire. Oh, bad news. Now, in 1920-21, when they formed all these Illuminati, watch this. About the same time frame, 1924 to 1927, laying the groundwork. Good old Canada up there, not yet completely succumbed to the Illuminati, they had an investigation in the Canadian Customs and Excise Service for corruption and ramifications of illegal trade and traffic and trade. And this was throughout the Dominion about a corrupt Canadian Customs and Excise Service. So, a member of Parliament for Vancouver, Mr. H.H. Stevens, he was appointed as a royal commission to investigate the corruption of this Canadian Customs and Excise Service, 1924 to 1927 time frame. Well, it was proved that communists were in control. Communists have been in control of our country since the day we were formed. Adam Weishaupt, the protocols, this is what it's all about all along. But also Canada. So 1924-27, they were investigating corrupt Canadian Customs and Excise Service. And what they discovered subsequent to that investigation was evidence that was given to prove that there was, in fact, plans to destroy the United States and Canada as nations. But that evidence was suppressed and hidden. However, some of it was related. And evidence given before the Royal Commission in the early 1920s during the investigation revealed the following facts I'm going to give you right now. And you'll find these facts in William G. Carr's book, Red Fog Over America, 1955. So the evidence presented in this investigation proved that those who directed the conspiracy achieved the following objectives I'm going to tell you about. And this was to further the long-range plans to ultimately destroy Canada and the United States as nations. And this coincides also with the present development of the North American Union, which is what they're really up to, and the NAFTA Treaty, and that so-called highway they got moving on down the middle of the United States, which I tend to believe is actually a waterway, but that's another story. Now, they have about 90% of Americans fooled due to the control of the media, and many Americans are self-denial of this absolute fact. So the evidence presented was realized by those who were aware of this grand conspiracy are as follows. Listen to the evidence that they found in this investigation. Number one, they seriously affected the national economics by robbing the national treasury departments of hundreds of millions of dollars. 1924, 1927. Ever heard of the Great Depression, 1929? Well, hello. Number two, they corrupted government officials to the highest levels and obtained control of the two main parties. You got that? So then it should not have come some surprise when Martin Luther King, a great man like JFK, Bobby Kennedy. I didn't agree with Malcolm X's policies, but he also was killed by the same people because he didn't work with them. But Martin Luther King said, and I quote, "We must face the appalling fact that we have been betrayed by both the Democratic and Republican parties," unquote. Uh-huh. They corrupted government officials at the highest level and obtained control of two main parties. Martin Luther King was right. Number three, they established a new society. This is 1924 to 1927. They established a new society in which the wealthiest members had made their money by illegal methods and were thus forever beholden to those who had made their successful operations possible. The majority of the newly rich can't help but carry out the request of those who made them rich, because those who made them millionaires almost overnight can reduce them to poverty just as quickly if they so much as even hesitate to do their bidding. Now you know why they take a blood oath in Freemasonry under God not to reveal secrets. Now you know. And the Knights of Malta. They corrupted officials at the highest level. They established a new society, but the wealthiest members are under control. And they obtained such a high control, number four, they obtained such a high control of high-level government officials that they had to adopt a policy regarding international security, which permits the Communist Party in both Canada and the United States to perfect the revolutionary plans and await the day when the international conspirators give the order to revolt. It'll happen in one day. Now, obtain control of high government officials. Let me give you a definition. Two, and there's severe hints. You have what's called a black book. Called a black book in 1955 because it didn't have any computers. Today, I'm sure it's computerized. A black book back in 55, which is still prevalent today, is as, quote, William G. Carr, Red Fog of America. Gives a definition as thus. It's a book in which the directors of the international conspiracy kept a record of the private lives of influential people together with a detailed report of their characteristics, faults, and failings. The information is used to persuade people into doing the bidding of the conspirators, either because of fear of exposure or for the sake of obtaining more luxury and material rewards. Unquote. Now watch this. Let's connect a few dots here. Yep. I have documentation and I have a dialogue and a research. When we talk about the reality of Satan and Lucifer, and you can be an atheist if you want to. You can say, well, I just don't believe in Satan. I don't believe in Lucifer and all that. Man, it don't matter what you believe. It don't make one penny what you believe. The matters are, the kings and queens of this world, the ones that run the Federal Reserve System and the ones that run your government, run the Canadian government, run the Londonese government, I had to put that in there, and all the other governments, the Illuminati, they believe in Lucifer, and they control you. So you believe what you want to believe. You can believe in Elmer Fudd is whatever you want to believe. But it don't make one lick of difference, because they are the ones that run these policies. And they do believe in Lucifer, they do believe in Satan, and they do ritual sacrifices of children to these guys, by these guys, to this Lucifer that you don't believe in. They kill 700,000 children a year, and other things they do with them. Because of this. So your belief don't stop that. You better know who you're dealing with. Now, he's real. And the seven areas of fallen angels, the seven areas of these Satanists, the seven areas that they control. And they're called Ashram Rays. I can't go in detail. Not enough time. And I'll tell you exactly what these areas are. They have quantified with objectives, plans, projections, scientifically organized, the following areas. Education. worldwide. Philosophy, religions, all of them. Science, the arts, politics, and finance. So Satan's world system, from a supernatural control, includes commerce, politics, religion, education, entertainment, hint, hint, world kingdoms, world organizations, and many other things. Through his world system, Satan, the supernatural realm, offers people power, riches, possessions, worldly honors, Rhodes Scholarship Program with Cecil Rhodes is a Satanist. Do the math. Nobel was a Satanist. He was a member of the Illuminati. Nobel was. Now you got the idea? Y'all getting it now? Intellectual achievement, social prestige, as well as all kinds of sinful pleasures they offer them. Satan can give people just about anything they could want for now, and thus make them satisfied to remain under his rule and leave God out of their lives. Notice that includes religion. Jesus Christ in the King James Bible is not about religion. It's about the truth. They've used religion to cover it and come up with their own doctrine that's promulgated in most all the churches today. Now, oh, heck, man, I'm just getting warmed up. Don't go nowhere. You can if you want to. I'm not backing down one iota. And I'm going to tell you all the truth, too. So the black book is to control these guys. But I'm not done. I got another definition for you. And another purpose of these children that they kidnap from birth. And they fit this definition, too. Nihilist, N-I-H-I-L-I-S-T-S, nihilist. Nihilist are executioners trained from birth, used by all conspirators who aspire to control the world dictatorship. History reveals that these assassins are to be found in all classes of society. They try, if possible, to make the murders they commit look like accidents, suicides, or natural deaths. Unquote. Red Fog of America definition. Now, why would they do that? Because if they live it out, if they show that it's murders, that will justify what these truth tellers are saying. So they make it look like they're accidents, suicides, or natural deaths. You say to escape persecution, and I say chuckle, chuckle, because they control the money, they control the legal system. So they don't worry about that. So why would they do the accidents, suicides, and natural deaths? So it would not give some justification or some verification that what the truth tellers are saying or have said or testified to was true. They just died of an accident or a suicide or died of a heart attack. They can induce heart attacks. Family, they created cancer in the laboratory. And HIV was created in Fort Detrick, Maryland in 1978-79. Oh, they're coming out and telling you today. You got it? Well, let's continue. 1924 to 27, the new society, wealthy members. Number four was obtained such a control of high government officials that they had to adopt a policy regarding international security, permitted the Communist Party in both Canada and the United States to perfect the revolutionary plans, and await the day. It's going to happen in one day. But God keeps moving it around on them. God's held them back with his hedge of protection for generations. That's why they haven't been able to put it together yet. But number five, and finally, they found in this investigation, listen to this carefully. This explains the use of controlled opposition, those that appear to be on your side but not. Explains it right here. Quote, finally, they saw to it that just enough evidence appeared in the public free press to disgust the public. It gave the public the feeling that our governments have been proven so rotten that any change must be for the best. But the news reports did not disclose any connection between the international capitalists who organized this gigantic conspiracy and the subversives, that'd be the mafia, the gang members and all that, assassins, etc., and the subversives in the underworld who put their plan into effect. They had no connection there. So they want you to know the truth up to a certain point. Then they'll say something like, Edward Holders, he's the one responsible for this. Or some other low-level politician is planning these assassinations or suicides. Or robbing the National Treasury. They put it off on these Holders and Bernankes and so forth. It's almost laughable. It's the Knights of Malta at the highest level. Sovereign Military Order of Malta. Secret societies. Those are the ones. Protocol, chapter 15, Roman numeral XV, of the Protocols of Learned Elders of Zion, which is a Jesuit document created by Adam Weishaupt back in the 1776 time frame. Chapter 15 confirms that once the Great White Brotherhood, the ones that's in control of the Illuminati, the ones that controls the Illuminati, the Great White Brotherhood, once they have total control of world governments, they are, in fact, they will begin the execution of all Masons who know too much. And all other Masons below their ranks will, quote, will die as if by some illness, unquote. And the idea is that they'll never know the death sentences put upon them once this conspiracy has made its way solid. But it won't be solid because the tribulations are going to take it apart. Now you got it? God's not going to let this happen fully. But because of the disbelief, because of turning away from God, there will be judgment upon this United States. There will be judgment upon this world. It's coming. Seek Jesus Christ. All this political mumbo jumbo, economics and all this is to keep you busy, scared and feared. You Yankees call it afraid. It's coming, family. I'm telling you right now. And it is supernatural and it's all connected. Now, 1944 is Bretton Woods, New Hampshire. Control of economics. It further brought control from the Federal Reserve. It did some nasty things. Look up Bretton Woods. I don't have time to go over that right now. I mean, I could spend 4 hours on this broadcast if I wanted to, but I'm trying to give you all a briefing. 1945, following the footsteps of the League of Nations, and remember, they tried to bring it together then, the war to end all wars. It didn't, did it? God will let it happen when he's ready to let it happen. The League of Nations gave rise to the United Nations, forerunner of the New World Order, in New York, 1945. In 1954, they formed the Bilderberg Group to start the plans where Albert Pike ended in 1953, or 45, actually. Albert Pike's plans went from 1914 to 1945. He finished planning the wars in 1873. Plan for wars between 1914 and 1945 by Albert Pike, Confederate general, a Satanist, Luciferian, and a Freemason. Palladian Rite, it just gets deeper and deeper. Well, his plan included wars between 1914 and 1945. So when his ended 1945, to further the or continuity of the New World Order, the Bilderberg Group formed in 1954. Oosterbeek, the Netherlands. Then 1963 to 1967, the Iron Mountain Commission met because wars were over for a time frame until World War III comes. And World War III is not Russia and China and America. That's just a distraction. The real World War III, planned in 1873 by Albert Pike, will be between Islam and political Zionism, yet to happen. Well, the Iron Mountain Report, the Iron Mountain Commission, met to brainstorm methods of how to control people in the time of peace. War was the best way to control people, as Norman Dodd found out in 1966 when he was tasked with going to Carnegie's Peace Foundation meeting of 1909. He took the minutes of that meeting, 1966, he read the minutes of that meeting in 1909 and determined that the best way to control people was a time of war. Well, in the time of peace, how do you control people then? And that's where the Iron Mountain Report came out. It was never to be released to the public, but Lewin received a copy from one of the 15 engineers that worked on it. He thought it was necessary to get it out. They couldn't stop it once it was printed. Said Lewin to retract it and say, well, it's really a hoax. The Iron Mountain Report is not a hoax. Go to chapter section, section 7, conclusion. And it tells you how they're controlling us in five different areas in the Iron Mountain Report. If I got popular demand, I cover Iron Mountain Report, but you all can read it just as good as I can. And the conclusions included population, included blood games, an extraterrestrial menace, a space research program aimed at unreachable targets, world pollution, global warming, all sorts of disarmament, all sorts of ideas to control people in the time of peace until we have the next war. That's what the Iron Mountain Commission determined. It's a think tank. It's no hoax either. So, 63-67 was the Iron Mountain Report. 1968 was the Club of Rome was formed in Rome for depopulation. Kissinger and Haig created NSSM 200, depopulation plan by Kissinger and Alexander Haig, both evil to the core. And to further the agenda of depopulation, from 1968, NSSM was formed in 1973, the plan to depopulate, to kill world population. To further that plan, Billy Bob Carter, president, Luciferian, Satanist, no Christian, furthered it by Global 2000 plan to further NSSM 200 for depopulation and murder. 1973, at the same time the NSSM 200 was formed by Kissinger and Haig, they formed the Trilateral Commission in 1973. And this was after Nixon tried a military coup of the U.S. government with General Cushman, 72 to 1974, and failed. Well, that's a fact. I got the details. Family, this is what's really going on. I'm trying to tell y'all. I'm not giving you details about this because I don't have time. I would have had time. I give you all the details. What I'm trying to tell y'all is these facts of how the Illuminati has set us up worldwide. Not just the United States, but worldwide, simultaneously. Now, you know where I told you here that in that step number five, the evidence of that Canadian investigation to provide just enough evidence in the public free press to disgust the public, right? Well, okay, bear with me here just a second. I said, I need some more confirmation on that. And I found it. In their reports, okay, bear with me here just a second. Satan, Prince of This World by William G. Carr. He has other quotes by these individuals, by these Illuminati. About along the same line, that once they show you how worthless the governments are, and you see the governments are worthless, then you'll want something different. That's just the way people work. It's like a chess move. Once you see the ugly, you will have the pretty, whatever. You see, it's called the dialectic. Now, going through the protocols and using a quote, I found a I could be able to go through this real quickly. I found a corroborating evidence from their own lectures. And they said, did I find it or didn't I? Let's see if I got it here. Bear with me just a second, family. Sometimes I have to pull. There we go. A lecture that was given, chapter 15, of the protocols learned of the Zion, and this protocols has been followed right down to the letter. Now, here's what they say. In a series of lectures given by the Illuminati to their adherents, the lecture was given between 1873 and 1901, and it stands today as their planning structure of everything I've talked about right now. Everything is part of their agenda. And the lecturer, the Illuminati lecturer, told his listeners it might take a century to place those who directed the conspiracy where, quote, where no power or cunning can prevent them from usurping undisputed world dominion, domination. He tells his audience that, quote, once we're in power, they shall take the following steps to make certain they remain in power. And I got a series of steps here that they're going to do. Chapter 15 tells us what's going to happen to all lesser beings. Quote, this is what they're saying. Masons, Jews, Christians, etc., etc. Period, comma. Quote, when we, the high priest of the Luciferian creed, at last definitely come into our kingdom by aid of a coup d'etat prepared everywhere for one and the same day. Now listen. After the worthlessness of all existing forms of government has been definitely acknowledged, unquote. That matches what they found in Canada. That they saw to it that just enough evidence appeared in the public free press to just disgust the public. It gave the public the feelings that our governments have been proven so rotten that any change must be for the best. And that change will be the acceptance of the New World Order. So this is why Obama is very significant. Because he is the one, and he's going along with it, that's to be acknowledged as a worthless government by design. This is not because it is. It's because it's set up that way. And now they're going to include, as a catch-all, Bush and all the others, as the evil ones, as the Illuminati. We got to get rid of them. And once they're gotten rid of, they've got to be demonized first. Vilified. That's what they're doing. This is the purpose going on today. Once they've vilified them, all of them, and they get rid of them by some silly impeachment or some arrest or some other nonsense, then the public will say, yay, we won. No, you haven't. You're replacing the pot just for the worthless kettle. There's no good guys in this thing at all, except Jesus. That's my point. Now, the others aren't going to tell you that, but I got the evidence right here. Now, I don't want to leave you hanging. What he told the audience between 1873 and a series of lectures in 1901, he said the following, and I quote, he tells his audience, once in power, we shall take the following steps to make sure we remain in power. Number one, we shall slay without mercy all who take arms to oppose our coming into our kingdom. Number two, belonging to anything like a secret society will be punishable by death, period. Number three, those who, having belonged to secret societies, have served the synagogue of Satan, are to be disbanded and sent into exile. Now, remember, this is 1873 to 1901, and that's exactly what they did, because it was done in Russia and it was done in China to send those in exile. Remember, they also exiled later Chiang Kai-shek to Taiwan. They've carried it out perfectly. In 1950, the State Department, as ordered by the Vatican, made sure that the Free Chinese did not cross over into Communist China to take over Communist China and make it free again. The President ordered the 7th Fleet to blockade Chiang Kai-shek in 1950 to make sure that the 500,000 men that Chiang Kai-shek had to invade Communist China and make it free would not happen in 1950. A lot of people don't know that. See, it all works out, unfortunately. Continuing. Those belonging to secret societies have served the synagogue of Satan or to be disbanded, sent into exile, exactly what was done in Russia and was also done in China in that period of time. The lecturer adds, quote, in this way, we will proceed with Masons who know too much, unquote. That's a quote. Number four, and last one, death will be the penalty of all who hinder our affairs. Quote, we execute Masons in such a wise that none save the Brotherhood can ever have suspicion of it. Not even the victims themselves of our death sentence. They will all die when required as if from a normal kind of illness, unquote. Now it goes on. Now you ought to be shocked about now. If you turned it and left, well, ta-ta. Because you're in denial. The evidence speaks for itself. It's time to get ready. And the only way to get ready, literally, in a 5-paragraph order, is seeking the face of Jesus and living right, but covering yourself in the blood of Jesus. It is a supernatural war, generals. You will lose, and everything secular you try to do, you will lose. They have you all pegged, and they're going to kill you. Do you understand what I'm saying? All your cosmic top secret mumbo jumbo won't do you one bit of good, because you're being identified, and those that's not part of this agenda, they're going to take you out. It would behoove you to study and research and pray. Because that is the only way it's going to happen. Now, I was talking, it was already 5:30. I laid the groundwork. I tried to give you all as much evidence as I could. I'm going to talk now about Constitution, what they've done. And this is, like I said, number four? Since I've been going since Monday, I had to skip one day or so. I talked the other day, the past few days, about how they've targeted your children. To me, that's important, you know, and to find out where it's coming from. But denial. People are so rushing in denial. I mean, if I could sell denial certificates, I'd be a wealthy man about now. It's kind of silly, but I don't know how else to put it. Well, step number three. Now, what was it we talked about? We talked about the five steps since Monday. How they're going to control the world. How they set it up. You know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she based her report to the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights and her previous court opinion stated that the federal government should lower the age of sexual consent to 12. Well, we got pagans in the... What's going on here? Back in the 1990s? Not a word. And legalized prostitution? Quote, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. This is a quote from her. Prostitution as a consensual act between adults is arguably within the zone of privacy protected by recent constitutional decisions. Unquote. Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Not a word. And even Roberta Achenberg. Quote. Talking about groups like Boy Scouts of America. Do we want children learn the values of an organization that provides character building exclusively for straight, God-fearing male children? Unquote. Now you see why today they're going after the Boy Scouts, using it as part of the agenda. It all comes together. Step two would dismantle the family, patriotism, individual liberty. Man, I could talk about that for a week. I mean, literally. I mean, I got UNICEF, motto of the United Nations Children's Fund, a quote from them, every child is our child, unquote. They've been telling us all along what they're going to do. And nobody but a few people paying attention. Sometimes it makes some of us that see this say, well, you're going to get what you ask for. I don't see it that way, but boy, I tell you, sometimes it really ticks me off when people go in denial. I hate it when people go in denial. It drives me nuts. And you show them the evidence, and it's what Bill Cooper said. You can show somebody 10 tons of evidence, but if they've got the mind made up, you're not going to change it. 10 tons of evidence, no problem. They're not going to listen. Well, dismantle the family, patriotism, individual liberty. To sum it up in step number two, and you can break down his words as well, Brock Chisholm said, and I quote, to achieve world government, Brock Chisholm, by the way, was director of the United Nations World Health Organization back in 1945. 45, you got the date? That sound familiar? It should. As a start-off date to take down the United States. Dr. Brock Chisholm said, I quote, 48 in 1953, when he served as director of the United Nations World Health Organization, as director, begin quote, to achieve world government, it is necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family tradition, national patriotism, and religious dogmas. They created the religions, now they're going to take them down. They wanted family tradition to foment World War I, World War II. They're after World War II, they want to take it down. And to bring us all out of individualism and make us a brain-dead culture. And Brock Chisholm also said September 11th, 1954, this boy is a busy boy. He said, and I quote, the people who have taught us to believe whatever they were told by their parents or their teachers are the people who are the menace to the world. Now you see why today they're trying to break down that authoritative figure of teachers and parents. Now you see why they're coming up with sexual advances by the female teachers with their teenage students. This is a purpose. This is why. This is the one reason this is being done. The teachers are part of this. And the ones that's not are quiet because they'll lose their job. The others are Eastern Stars and Wicca. Oh, yes, absolutely. And so I talked about the international rights of the child and the evil that that treaty is going to present to you when it, once it's formed up. As a matter of fact, to set the stage on how the teachers are being told to teach was in 1973. Dr. Chester M. Pierce addressed 2,000 teachers at one time in an auditorium with a microphone in Denver, Colorado in 1973. He said, and I quote, "Every child in America entering school at the age of 5 is mentally ill because he comes to school with certain allegiances toward our founding fathers, toward our elected officials, toward his parents, toward a belief in the supernatural being, toward the sovereignty of the nation as a separate entity. It is up to you teachers to make all these sick children well by creating international children of the future." Unquote. How much more have I got to tell y'all to prove that this conspiracy is real? I'll tell you more then. Step three was, and I get, oh, by the way, I also gave you articles of the treaty, International Rights of the Child, that were going to take your children away from you. That would make me interested if I was had a kid here or something. I'd want to know that. I'd want to write my congressman. I want to say, well, where we are with this International Rights of the Child? Where are we going to sign it or not? You are. Well, we're going to try to vote you out. We're going to sign a 10,000, 100,000 petition to get you out of Congress. You sign it, we're going to come down upon you. Now you're talking. But first you got to understand it. Step three, discard our Constitution and Republic which is established. Well, long story short, and I'll give you more information here, but the Constitution, and you better tell some of these sheriffs and judges and lawyers and whatever else, you better tell them, if they don't, apparently some of them don't know on YouTube, colonels and all this, we don't have a Constitution. It is not there. You don't have it. It is rendered null and void, 1938, by Tompkins versus Erie Railroad. And it was never meant to be carried out, as FDR confirmed in 1939. It's there to placate us. Now, as part of the bicentennial celebration of the U.S. Constitution back in the day, the Ford Foundation and Rockefeller Foundation, they funded a project which culminated in a book called Reforming American Government. And then what Clinton's cousin said, what was his name? Oh, I just drew a blank, everything else in my head. The global warming guy. Oh, man, help me here. Oh, I just drew a blank on his face. He's a cousin of Bill Clinton, a literal cousin. I can't think of his vice president. What was his name? I can't even remember that now. Whew, all this stuff in my head today. I'll think of it in a minute. Reforming American government, global warming. He is a part of this. He is a cousin, too, of the bloodline. Anyway, the work was compiled from several well-known political analysts, and many of them were members of the Council on Foreign Relations. That is the Illuminati. Oh, yeah, Albert Gore. Gore, the boar. Gore is a family member like Dole. Yeah, buddy, and Romney. They're all family members of the Illuminati. Clinton, they're all family, literally. Bush, they are family members, cousins. Every one of them. Anyway, reforming American government. Now you know why. And the general consensus of this group was that our American Republic needed serious overhauling in order to meet the needs of the present and the future, getting it ready for the New World Order. But the main problem with American government was the U.S. Constitution. Even though it was meant to be subverted, it still stood. They had hide it in the background of subverting it. But it still was a remedy that they had as to placate the American public. So the placated U.S. Constitution and the concept of checks and balances and limited government powers was the main problem to get around without revealing their underhandedness. James Burns, co-chairman of the Committee on the Constitutional System, he said, and I quote, "The framers of the Constitution have simply been too shrewd for us. If we are to turn the founders upside down, to put together what they put asunder, we must directly confront the constitutional system they erected." Unquote. What they're not telling you, though, is that many of the signers of the Constitution were Freemasons. And the Constitution was meant to placate. It was based on the Magna Carta. And to use freedom and liberty as a reason to go to war. That was the purpose of it. I got details on that I can't cover right now. But they had to establish a remedy that would satisfy the people, and that's what it was for. Fundamentally, Lester Thoreau, professor of economics at Tavistock College, Illuminati College called MIT. Oh, yeah, they are part of Tavistock. Well, MIT, Lester Thoreau, said, and I quote, "Fundamentally, America must alter its structure of government. The men of 1776 may have designed the set of checks and balances that succeeded for the nation's first 200 years, but they did not anticipate the dilemmas of the 1980s. Unquote. And Douglas Dillon, who was an investment banker and co-chairman of Committee on the Constitutional System, said, and I quote, "The inability to place responsibility for events on any one party or person can only be remedied by a truly significant shift, a change to some form of parliamentary government that would eliminate or sharply reduce the present division of authority between the executive and legislative arms of government. 10 years ago, you could count on one hand," it's like 1980s he's referring to, because this is about 1990, quote, let me make sure. Hold on a second, please. Okay, hold on 2 seconds. You have dead time, right? Douglas Dillon, Reforming American Government, page 28 and 29. Yep, I was right, 1985. Page for Reforming American Government, 1985, page 29. Yep. "The division of powers created in U.S. Constitution," continuing the quote, "was viable during the first 150 years of our history, when we could and did exist in relative isolation." Continuing, "It continued to be viable in the immediate post-war era when our economic and military power dominated the world, but that is no longer the case, thanks to the conspirators." He says, "No, it's no longer the case." I said, "Thanks to the conspirators." "Today, possibly the most important longer-range question facing us as a nation, a question transcending all immediate issues, is whether we can continue to afford the luxury of the separation of power in Washington between the executive and legislative branches of our government." Continuing, "You may ask, what is the alternative?" He writes, "The answer could very well be in some form of parliamentary democracy." Unquote. When they have a constitutional convention, a con-con, man, we're in trouble. You know that Charles Hardin, another contributor to Reforming American Government, presents 9 suggestions to reform the U.S. Constitution. And, you know, it's all centered around giving the president more power, even though he's a puppet You see how it works? By the Vatican. And the Vatican is a puppet of the Illuminati on the Italian side. Not the Jews. That's a Christian identity bunch of nonsense. But the three most radical points of this reforming American government are as follows. Number four. The Senate should be deprived of its power to approve treaties and presidential nominations. You see, treaties actually become supreme law of the land, and they actually supersede even the U.S. Constitution. Yes, they do. That's not all. That is not all that supersedes the Constitution. See, they're not telling you that. People aren't, you got colonels at the highest level are not picking up on the truth here. They're not picking up on what's really going on. These YouTubes, man, are full of nonsense. Not only are they going to control the Constitution behind the scenes, here's another way.
Reagan was elected to the presidency. He installed Louis Giuffrida as head of FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Giuffrida was an old cold warrior from Reagan's California days whose specialty was suppression of unrest and dissent. Giuffrida, North, and George Bush began to turn FEMA into an instrument of domestic anti-terrorism.
You're dealing with a group of people in the Reagan administration who equated political dissent with treason and who cannot differentiate between emergency procedures, which I think everyone agrees are necessary, and suppressing political dissent. And with North and Poindexter and Casey, you had a group of people who saw Americans who disagree with them as the enemy.
Colonel North, in your work at the NSC, were you not assigned at one time to work on plans for the continuity of government in the event of a major disaster?
Mr. Chairman,
I believe that question touches upon a highly sensitive and classified area, so may I request that you not touch upon that, sir?
I was particularly concerned, Mr. Chairman, because I read in Miami papers and several others that there had been a plan developed by that same agency, a contingency plan in the event of emergency that would suspend the American Constitution. And I was deeply concerned about it and wondered if that was the area in which he had worked. I believe that it was.
I most respectfully request that that matter not be touched upon at this stage. If we wish to get into this, I'm certain arrangements can be made for an executive session.
And tragically, the only member who got close was Jack Brooks, and he was stopped by the chairman.
So, that's the testimony right there. That's on TV testimony. You know, there you go. So, treaties and presidential nominations, treaties become supreme law of the land and override the Constitution. In other words, they could take your children with international rights of the child to sign. They can have your children, and there's not a darn thing you can do about it. That would tick me off a little bit. Well, now all they have to do is National Defense Authorization Act. National Defense Authorization Act. Family, that goes back to FDR, the War Powers Act. Family, this is nothing new. It's not just Obama. Obama was put into place to demonize and vilify the government, finally, for their plans. He knows that he's a part of it, just like Bush, Clinton, Reagan, Carter, Johnson, FDR, Hoover, the whole lot of them are part of this agenda. And these are facts. Doggone it. Now, number eight of this document of Reforming American Government, book, whatever, quote, presidential elections should be by national ticket, with the winning party identified by securing a national plurality of voters. In other words, no longer would Americans be free to vote for individuals since it don't count anyway. Plus, the party in power would be able to enact wholesale changes virtually without opposition, and that without a majority vote. Well, I got news for you there. No president in our history has ever been elected. We don't have a democracy confirmed by FDR. And FDR, man, they tell you what they're doing. For goodness sakes alive. Yeah, FDR, that rascal, that liar and murderer, just like Churchill, his cousin. You heard me absolutely correct. And I'm on a roll, family. Doggone it. When are people going to wake up? FDR said, I got it right here, somewhere here. Man, I tell you what. FDR said, I can't find this quote. Boy, I tell you what, man. These people have been pulling wool over our eyes and history and everything else. But their time's coming. There it is. President Roosevelt said, and I quote, presidents are selected, not elected, unquote, FDR. You've never voted a president in our history. Number 9 of this document, all parts of the present Constitution in conflict with the foregoing 8 proposals should be repealed or modified to conform to them. The 22nd Amendment, as 2-term limit for president, should also be repealed. See, once the president got into power, he could almost assure continual re-election for himself. This is what Nixon was going to do. So, what type of establishment political analysts are suggesting that America must change to a parliamentary form of government? A government that's more powerful, a government unrestrained by the Constitution. Proposition by Lloyd Cutler, who's co-chairman of the Committee of the Constitutional System, said, and I quote, I am convinced of these propositions. We need to do better than we have in forming a government for this country, and this need is becoming more acute. The structure of our Constitution prevents us from doing significantly better. And lastly, Lord Cutler says, it is time to start thinking and debating about whether and how to correct the structural fault. You see? So, somewhat more troubling around this is the underlying tone of the coming crisis is going to help Americans decide to part with their Constitution. Will the crisis they're setting up come as a result of natural situations, or will it be manufactured, or will it be the Hoover Dam going poof with HARP? Or a financial reset of the government and the financial reserve system that we have today, will that cause it to happen? They don't say, but they hint at the answer by Douglas Dillon. He says, and I quote, such a significant shift in our Constitution is unlikely, and that to come except as a result of a crisis that's very grave indeed. I'm going to continue, even though TalkStream Live may cut it off because of the hours. I am talking on my website, watchmanforjesus.com. I'm going to continue with about 5 more minutes if you want to shift over to my website. Continuing. So this significant shift in our Constitution is unlikely to come except as a result of a crisis that's very grave indeed. We're waiting on that crisis. 9-1-1 was an attempt. 9-1-1 was planned by a Masonic organization going back to September 11th, 1966, when the cornerstone was laid by a Masonic ritual. September 11th, 1966. It was built to come down by a Masonic secret society sacrifice. That was the purpose of 9-1-1, the Twin Towers. The two towers of Boaz and Jachin. September 11th, 1941 was the cornerstone for the Pentagon. Now you get it? James Burns said, James Burns was co-chairman of the Committee on the Constitutional System. James Burns said, and I quote, there undoubtedly will be a series of national and worldwide crises in which the capacity of our system will be so sorely tested that many Americans, perhaps rather suddenly, will feel an urgent need for a change. Then he went on to say, I doubt that Americans, under normal conditions, could agree on the package of radical and alien constitutional changes that would be required. They would do so only during a following a stupendous national crisis and political failure. And Richard Gardner said, and I quote, around the same 1993-94 time frame, you get it? We're not 2009-11 yet, are we? They knew something was coming. Uh-huh. Richard Gardner said, and I quote, an end run around national sovereignty, eroding it piece by piece, will accomplish much more than the old-fashioned frontal assault. They knew 9-1-1 was coming. I should have some jaws dropping down to the floor about now if you're listening. And to destroy the American free enterprise system, the mega-rich economic engineers, they hate the free enterprise system. But they had to have a remedy set up that would confound but placate the American public. At the same time, restrain them, but at the same time, it kept us placated. They're convinced that great wealth cannot be accumulated in a fair and unrestricted free market system. So historian Anthony Sutton said, and I quote, the only sure road to the acquisition of massive wealth was monopoly. Drive out your competitors. Reduce competition. Eliminate laissez-faire. And above all, get state protection for your industry through compliant politicians and government regulation. The last avenue yields a huge monopoly, and a legal monopoly always leads to wealth. Unquote, Anthony Sutton. So, this Illuminati desire to form monopolies, it goes a long way toward explaining the legislators' obsession with passing regulations, which forces small businesses, trucking companies, etc., out of the marketplace. Closing down companies, that's always been in small towns, driving the people to the cities, which is done perfectly, and leaving old people in the little cities and towns and young people that's going to move out so they can take the property. And they kill off the old people by drugs, pharmaceutical, pharmakia, sorcery in Greek. Now you get it? NSSM 200, depopulation plan, and vaccines. Chemtrails. Hope I'm waking somebody up. Their ultimate goal is to establish a one-world economic system which they control. Carol Quigley, inspiration to Billy Bob Clinton. He said, and I quote, the secret network of conspirators has another far-reaching aim. Nothing less than to create a world system of financial control in private hands, able to dominate the political system of each country and the economy of the world as a whole. Unquote. Carol Quigley. How much more do you need, four-star generals? How much more do you need, colonels, legislators, mayors, governors? You think you're going to win? Man, you're going to lose bad. This is a supernatural conspiracy led by evil individuals, and there's not one good one among them. Not even one. Ron Paul is a Rosicrucian. It gets ugly from then on. Now, to direct our attention toward the United Nations, see, there's not enough space to demonstrate here. The United Nations was created by the international bankers and leaders in the CFR in the mid-40s, by the Nazis when they came over in Operation Paperclip. Leaders in the Council of Foreign Relations for the sole purpose of pushing the United States, us, into a new world order. And they know that only after America surrenders her sovereignty will the world be ripe for the picking? And that's why they're taking us down now. It started in 1950. That's correct. Now you know why there are 26 suicides per day of our servicemen. Now you know. The Economist, the Rothschild publication, said, and I quote, America needs to remember that a willingness to involve others is not enough to make a collective world order work. There must be readiness to submit to it. If America really wants such an order, it will have to be ready to take its complaints to the GATT, G-A-T-T, that's the UN, finance the multilateral aid agencies, to submit itself to International Court, the UN, and bow to some system to monitor arms exports and make a habit of consulting the UN, unquote. So even the Senate, they were considering the UN Charter of 1945, the one worlders were working on the hearts and minds of skeptical Americans. UN Political Affairs magazine, 1945, said, and I quote, great popular support and enthusiasm for the United Nations policies should be built up, well organized, and fully articulate. But it is also necessary to do more than that. The opposition must be rendered so impotent, I didn't say important, I said impotent, that it will be unable to gather any significant support in the Senate against the United Nations Charter and the treaties which will follow, unquote. Political Affairs, April 1945. There you go. So, you know, in the last 50 years, last 60 years, Americans have given trillions of dollars and hundreds of thousands of lives to support an organization that has been working to destroy our country. They put a 40-question test to our Marines in Twin Palms, California in 1993. Of the 40 questions, several questions were, will you fire on American citizens? Another question was, would you wear the blue beret of the UN? They found out it wasn't favorable. So they started bringing in Chinese, Russian, Belgium, other UN forces inside the United States since 1990. And our government's been helping them. To fully appreciate the horrible crimes that's been committed against Americans by the United Nations, it takes one to do research and find it. Not hard to find. America begins to dismantle its military. The plan to lose Korea and Vietnam was planned by the UN, and it worked perfectly for almost 15 years. I got evidence for that, too. America begins to dismantle its military. I've explained that before. In accordance with the UN Charter, UN troops, including Russians and Chinese, are using U.S. facilities for training. They have foreign trade zones, 288, and Ron Paul and the rest of them aren't saying a darn word, and neither of the Joint Chief of Staff aren't complaining. Nobody's doing nothing about it at the high level because they're a part of it. President George Bush, he said, and I quote, United States is prepared to make available our bases and facilities for multinational training, traitor. And field exercises. One such base nearby with facilities is Fort Dix, unquote. President George Bush. We've heard several reports. I've heard several reports about what they're training to do. Now you get it? I can continue if I wanted to, but we run out of time. And I can continue on Monday, which I'll do. Some quotes, though. Humanist Manifesto, and I'll end it here. Humanists are firmly convinced that existing acquisitive, profit-motivated society has shown itself to be inadequate, and that a radical change in methods, controls, and motives must be instituted. A socialized and cooperative economic order must be established to the end that the equitable distribution of the means of life be possible. The goal of humanism is a free and universal society in which people voluntarily and intelligently cooperate for the common good. Humanists demand a shared life and a shared world. What a bunch of baloney, lies, that our government, European government, Belgium government, Scandinavian government, African government, Chinese government, right, if I miss anybody, are following the Humanist Manifesto. That is the enemy. The secret societies are the enemy and of themselves. National Education Association said, and I quote, schools will become clinics whose purpose is to provide individualized psychosocial treatment for the student, and teachers must become social therapists. They will include biochemical, psychological mediation of learning as drugs are introduced experimentally to improve in the learner, such as qualities of personality, concentration, memory. Children are to become the objects of experimentation, unquote, NEA. Bertrand Russell said, and I'll end it here, diet, injections, injunctions will combine from very early age to produce the sort of character and sort of beliefs that the authorities consider desirable, and any serious criticism of the powers that be will become psychologically impossible. Even if all are miserable, all will believe themselves to be happy because the government will tell them it is so, unquote. I completed all five plans this afternoon. I've accomplished what I said I was going to do. I've given you a summary. Each one of these plans, I could cover a program on each one of them. You know, I may just do that too next week in more detail. So in summary, and I'll complete it here, as I said several times I would do, the five-step program was to demolish the foundations of biblical morality. I explained that. To dismantle the family, patriotism, individual liberty. Number two, I explained that. Number three, discard our Constitution and Republic which is established. I explained that. Number four, destroy the American free enterprise system. I just explained that. And number five, direct our attention toward the United Nations, which will drag and, if necessary, drug us into global government for which it was established. I've explained that. And you at the highest level, you better get your head out of your tutu and get with the program, because they're going to kill all your secret society members. You're going to die. You better know what you're dealing with, because what you're dealing with, they're not telling you at your lodge. Your rewards that they're giving you is not worth your life in eternal hell. I don't know how else to be more explicit than that. I never was good at being politically correct. Family, I appreciate y'all's attention. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Only through him. And it's not these darn churches either. It's between you and two or three others. There's a church. And Jesus is waiting for you to call upon him. Family, tonight, 7:30, Bible study. If you want to, I'll be there. I also want to remind you that we are played up in highpointradio.net. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. Highportradio.net in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and New York. Family, we're on a Friday here, and I appreciate y'all's attention, and I guess I'm just not easy listening, say the least, but it's not meant to be. It's meant to inform you. You better start doing some praying, fasting, and thinking, and working. Because the time's getting short. It's getting short. Y'all have a great weekend. And know, through Jesus Christ, you've won already at the cross of Calvary. They've lost this war. It's the casualties we're counting right now of those that rejected Jesus Christ or those that don't know. He uses us for his holy word to spread that gospel. That's the bottom line. Y'all have a great weekend. Love y'all. God bless. This is The Watchman, signing off. Then I fell down on my knees and I just clung.
every fear I'd ever had just melted and disappeared.